Today on episode number 442 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we've got a last five and five. We've got a podcast rewind. We're going to talk today about really mining your gold mine that is your audience. In other words, I'm going to tell you how to make a kick butt customer survey. And if you take my survey, you just might win a free year at the School of Podcasting. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. That's right. That means in April, I'm going to have a 10-year anniversary. That's because I'm old. Welcome to the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, where we talk about all things podcasting. We massage your message, we tackle the technology, we flatten the learning curve and get you on the road to pain-free podcasting. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so very much for being here. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you need me, just call my name and I'll be there because you got a friend. Schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. It's that easy. And if you're new to the show, I'd like to just get to the point. Let's just get to the point. And we like to start off with, you know, kind of dip our toe in the podcasting pool. And a couple weeks ago, I interviewed John Wilkerson of the Wired Homeschool Show. It was a great show. We talked about how does that guy podcast with seven kids in the house? In the immortal words of, I think it was Homer Simpson, holy moly, how do you do that? Well, I also asked him about a last five and five. You know those.
And now it's time for a last five and five. What were the last five podcasts you listened to?
And here's John's answer. John, man, I want to think, before I let you out the door, we have another pop quiz for you.
Yep.
You can cheat and look on your phone. If you'd like, or whatever it is you use to listen to podcasts. Not so much what were your last five podcasts, but what were the last five podcasts you listened to? And if you can tell me a little bit about each one. And
sure. I was actually waiting for this question. one of them is the Spirit Blade Underground. And it's a really cool podcast. It's about geek entertainment and faith as well. But what's really cool is this guy also has audio dramas that he sells as well. They're highly produced and they're really, really cool. And this is kind of what he does to advertise them, so to speak. And it's not even a ton of advertisement. You know, when there's a new audio drama coming out, then he kind of ramps it up. But most of the time there might be in 1 month, he might mention it once or twice. So that's really cool. So the Spirit Blade Underground is one that I listen to. Another one I listen to is the Sci-Fi Christian.
Okay.
Which is Ben and Matt. They get together and they discuss sci-fi topics from a Christian perspective. Okay. Which is really cool. And right now they're in the middle of the top 100 sci-fi authors as voted on by their listeners. So that's really cool. I listen to Scott Sigler's books.
Yep.
Really been enjoying that. I think that's three.
Yep.
And another one is someone's banging on a door in my house.
It's always fun.
it's always the greatest. I listened to yours this morning. So
there you go.
Which is really nice. I have to tell you that I I've heard your name bandied about the podcasting world for years.
Mm-hmm.
And just never really listened to your podcast. I listened to Cliff, I listened to Daniel, and they've mentioned you repeatedly, and I said, you know, I'm going to have to check out Dave because I've heard about him for years, and I have to say I just love the unique quality that you bring to talking about podcasting. You know, it's always upbeat. It's always really. I think if we were neighbors. Mm-hmm. We would be really good friends because I love your sense of humor and everything. It really jives with mine. So
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I've really, really enjoyed listening to your podcast. Right. And then the last one would be Homeschooling in Real Life, which is another homeschooling podcast. And these folks, they, you know, a lot of people have these preconceptions about homeschooling, mm-hmm. and that everyone's all organized and it's all perfect and all the wives wear jean jumpers and the dads, you know, work from home and they shatter all of that. And it's just wonderful. It's great. Great to listen to.
That's hilarious, man. Well, I got to thank you for the kind words. I'm trying to remember. Oh man. I wish I could remember what it was. Barry Katz industry standard. He's a guy that's been the manager of Dave Chappelle and a lot of really famous comedians. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, he interviews like, you know, executives of NBC and things like that. It's all the behind the scenes of entertainment. And he was talking, I think, with Louis Anderson. And he said, you know, he always asked him, you know, what are your advice? And Louis Anderson said, don't forget to be yourself because, you know, number one, that's what's going to make you. And he says, and when you can't be yourself and just enjoy being you, he goes, whatever you love in a few years, you're going to hate because it's going to be a job because it's not, you're doing something that you have to work at being something that you're not. He's like,
yeah, that's so true.
And I was like, man, that's really good advice. And that's when I thought, you know, there are times that I'm a little goofy and I go outside of the lines, but I'm like, you know, that's, if you like me, you like me. And if you don't, you know, go listen to Daniel or Ray or Cliff or Michael Dell or any of the other. Now there's John Lee Dumas has another podcast about podcasting. The guy from 5x5, they're sprouting up all over the place. So, you know, there's plenty to listen to and I'll just be over here and be myself and go that route. So, well, thank you for your last 5x5 and best of luck with the Wired Homeschool. Again, you can find that over at thewiredhomeschool.com. And there you go. Super nice guy. Thought it was kind of funny that he's like, hey, I got noise in the background. I'm like, you got 7 kids. Of course you do. And, you know, it's interesting that that was recorded in episode 440. So if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/440, today on Ask the Podcast Coach, which you can find every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or just go to askthepodcastcoach.com. And Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast, he was in the chat room today, and he said there was somebody that said they didn't like his show because he's too in-depth. And so Daniel said, well, check out Dave. He usually covers multiple topics in a show. It's another advantage of knowing your quote competition is, you know, there's going to be people that are like, you know what, Dave, you're a little too, the troll thing threw me for a loop. I'll be like, you know what, if you want in-depth stuff, one topic, go check out my friend Daniel J. Lewis over at the Audacity 2 podcast. So, you know, you're not going to please everybody. And if you know, if you can then point them to somebody that solves their issue, well, they might actually then like you because you help them. That's another way of looking at it.
In case you missed it, it's time for a podcast rewind.
All right, I had the pleasure of being on the Coach Zing show. We were talking about creating a compelling podcast. You can find that over at coachzing.com. Now, I have links to these out in the show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com/442. And here is a clip of us talking about, again, compelling podcasts.
And what do you see as the biggest mistakes? I mean, you know, you've helped tons of people through School of Podcasting and, you know, through your own coaching to start podcasts. What do you see as the biggest mistakes that people make when they start getting out there and trying to start podcasts?
There are a couple things. Number one, I always say write down maybe the first 5 or 10 episodes. Like here, not so much like write them out word for word, but what are the first 10 things you're going to talk about? Because it's really easy to fall in love with the idea of a podcast. And you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And so you go out and you spend money on a microphone, and you do all this stuff and you get the software and you build the website. And then you sit down and you're like, okay, now what are we going to talk about? And then you go, okay, the first episode is going to be this. And like, okay, good. What's the second one? They go, I haven't got that far yet. And so you kind of, you get caught up in the, wow, this is going to be cool. And I hear all these great stories of people doing podcasting and they kind of just jump in without thinking. And so that's one mistake. And then you have the other person on the other end who has paralysis by analysis, who they're trying to figure out which microphone and should I, you know, do this and what's the right music and what picture. And they're really just overanalyzing it. And the magic is somewhere in between. And the other one I would think is if you're getting into there's nothing wrong at all with making money with your podcast. But if your sole reason is getting into, I've had people who've called me up and they say, look, I just lost my job. I got to start a podcast now and I got to make some money. That's not going to work, because you actually, if you choose to monetize your podcast, and by all means, you don't have to, you are doing that based on the relationship you've created with your audience. And that relationship is going to take a little time. So I always feel bad for the person that calls me up. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start podcasting. I'll do it tomorrow if I have to. And I got to make, you know, how much money can I make by the end of the month? And I'm like, ooh, it just doesn't work that way at this point.
I love that. And, you know, one of the things that I think about with that, at least this has been, I wonder, you know, what your experience has been with this. But, you know, my experience is that, first of all, there are amazing rewards of podcasting beyond the beyond, like you said, you know, beyond just monetizing a podcast. But I have found that leveraging, like, the relationships that I've made in podcasting, that has been I certainly, you know, that has made money for me. But like any relationship, those relationships took time to develop.
Yep, always takes a little bit of time, but it is one of the greatest things about a podcast is when you go to talk to somebody that you want to talk to and they're a big shot smarty pants and they're like, look, I don't have time to talk to you. But you say, oh, by the way, will you come on my podcast? Oh, now they've got all sorts of time to talk to you. So the Coach Zing Show is dedicated to helping coaches, therapists, speakers, and authors work less, earn more, and help more people through creative content marketing strategies. Again, you can find that it's Coach and then Zing, Z-I-N-G. And the last clip is from the relaunch show. So I went to go get another job, and my original degree was in electronic engineering. And I'd done training for, at that point, about 15 years. So I had this great resume of all the experience, but I didn't have that piece of paper that said, you know how to do training. And as frustrating as it is, in some cases, places will not talk to you. In this case, unless I had a bachelor's degree in education. So I thought about it, and I was getting ready to move out of my brother's house, because I'm like, look, I'm back on my feet. The lawyer's fees have been paid, and I went to work for my friend. That fell apart, and I said, man, this just stinks. Now I'm without a job, and I have no place to live. But I'm gonna get out of your hair. I told you I would. My brother said, no. He goes, you have something that most people don't have. And I go, what's that? He goes, you get to decide what you want to be when you grow up. Hmm. And I'm like, well, I know I want to be a trainer. I've been always doing this. I just don't have the piece of paper. So he said, well, hey, you know, you've already got one degree. It'll probably take you 2 years to get the other one. He goes, just hang out here. You're never here. You're in the basement all the time. And it's not a big deal. So, yeah, at the ripe old age of, I think I was 42, I went back to school, which was great fun, because you'd walk in and people would go, oh, are you the teacher? So, yeah, the relaunch show is just about that. It's about how, in some cases, people have to relaunch your life. So if you're like, Dave, why are you talking about getting divorced in a podcast? That's a little more of the personal story there on that. The relaunch show is a daily radio show for career changers, difference makers, and those with a dream. Feature interviews of today's and most in-depth experts, thought leaders, and relaunch artists. And you can find that over at relaunchshow.com. And again, I'll have a link to this out in the show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com/442.
Yeah.
All right. I want to cut to the chase. I don't want to make you wait. You're like, wait, how do I win a year at the School of Podcasting? Very simple. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2015-2015S for survey. And we're going to talk about how do you know, we often say a lot of times, the answer to a question is, well, I don't know, ask your audience. You know, I have a long show. I'm thinking of doing a shorter show. Should I have the same feed? Should I not? I don't know, ask your audience. I'm thinking about talking about bringing on I don't know, ask your audience. So, all right, Dave, how do you ask your audience? And the thing I want to keep in mind here is I think we hesitate to ask our audience because we might think we're bugging them, but we're actually not. If you think about this, the people that actually take part in your survey, which I did a lot of research on this, it's hard to get a number on how many people you can expect. If we go back to Jared Easley's book, he'd mentioned 3%. That's probably about right, because most of the research I found said 1% to 5% of your audience is going to come in and actually take your survey. It'll be a little more the better suited they are to you. But in other words, don't get too brokenhearted if, you know, if you only get 10%, that would actually be great. Now, there are some things we're going to talk about what you can do to increase that. Like if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2015S, I'm going to pick somebody from that list of people that take my survey and give them a free year at the School of Podcasting. And yes, this is open to current members as well. So first of all, what can you learn from an audience poll? Well, there's the obvious things, the demographics, what's your age, what's your sex, what's your income, what's your location, how many kids do you have, what's your favorite color? I don't know. Well, maybe not. But so that's one thing. That's the easy one. But you can also do things, especially if you're just starting out a podcast, in terms of expectations. So let's take my first podcast, The Marketing Musician. What if I went to somebody and said, hey, I'm doing a podcast for musicians. What do you think I should talk about? You know, leave it really open-ended and see what they think. And then maybe when you come up with a name, I always say, if you come up with a name and say, my podcast is called The Marketing Musician Podcast, or let's take another one of my podcasts, Weekly Web Tools. What do you think it's about? Most people probably go, I don't know, web tools that you talk about weekly? Yes, very good. So you can use this to set expectations, find out what your audience is expecting to hear, and then use that to create better content. You can also find a gap. In other words, what is the most common frustration that you have when you listen to podcasts? Some of us call that pet peeves, right? You're going along and all of a sudden they're talking about their cat and you're like, I didn't tune in to hear about your cat. And, you know, it's one of these.
And now, it's time for a pet peeve.
Right. So you could actually ask your audience, what's one of your pet peeves? And then don't do that. If you're brand new, you can have ask your audience. And you're like, Dave, I don't have an audience. Well, find a group. Go to a Google group. Make friends with people. Go to a Facebook group. Make friends with people. Notice we're not skipping that step and say, hey, I'm thinking of launching a podcast. What do you think of a name? And you can actually point them at a poll. And I'll talk about what polling system I use. I used it a lot tonight to make this survey. It's actually pretty cool. In the School of Podcasting, we have a private Facebook group. And one of the things I see people do a lot is they'll upload their album artwork. Like, I have this one and this one. Which do you think is best? So, you know, get some feedback on that. Whenever you can, get feedback from your target audience. But get some feedback on that. And that's what you can do with a poll. The other thing that I have in my poll is I ask you to describe my show. Sounds weird, but I'm like, please describe, if you had to tell your friend about my show, how would you describe it? Now, the reason I'm doing that is you are my target audience. Now, how do I know that? Because you're listening right now. So I want to hear how you describe it because it may be different than how I describe it. And as birds of a feather flock together, I'm going to take your words and use it in my marketing. That makes sense? So you can understand how your audience sees you because you may need to step back a bit and go, oh, I never thought of it that way. You can also have people rank your segments. So you can say, look, I do, you know, last five and fives. I do because of my podcast. I do product reviews. I do interviews. I do this and that. You know, rank these. Which one do you like the most? And you might find out that that one thing you do about podcast history, nobody cares about that. And so you don't have to do that segment anymore. You might find out that there's something that your audience goes, yeah, you can keep that one. Michael Hyatt of michaelhyatt.com. Author of my favorite book, one of my favorite books, Platform. He calls these psychographics. And this is things like not just you know, how old are you? Are you male or female? Things like that. And that's not to say that's not important, but what's your lifestyle like? What's your interests? You know, where do you shop at? What are your dreams? And then he always throws in, what are your pain points? If you know what is causing your audience pain, maybe you can find a way to eliminate that. And if you can eliminate somebody's pain, they're going to like you. And then some other things you might be able to find out is behaviors. You know, how do you consume my show? How often do you consume it? How long do you consume it? You know, where, again, your behaviors. Where do you shop? What's your favorite thing online? You could ask that because that might be insights into an affiliate program or a potential sponsor, things like this. There are all sorts of things you can learn from a survey. But before you do this, now, back in the day, I mean, like in my 20s, I was, I don't know, 24, many moons ago, I was a copier technician, and my toe got into the training water as a customer service rep. And I would go out, because I had my technical background, I would go out and set up the copier, and then I would teach people how to run it, or really, between you and me, more importantly, how not to run it. And we eliminated a lot of service calls that way. But when your phrase, when the title of your job has the word customer service in it, everything falls under that. So I ended up, I covered Ohio and most of Pennsylvania. I was running all over the place because, well, it's, you know, this boils down to customer service. And what drove me nuts is every year they'd be like, hey, let's do a survey. And they would start throwing out questions and I would be like, time out, because this is so important. I would say, what are we going to do if we get a negative response? And they'd be like, huh? And I'd be like, yeah, what are we going to do if somebody says, I hate my copier, my salesman's a jerk? What are we going to do with that? Because there's one thing that is like the ultimate cardinal sin. And this goes in life. This goes in business. And that is, never ask somebody's opinion and then do nothing with it. At least in business, if you're asking your customer, how we doing? And they go, meh. Right? Because before you asked, they weren't sure if you cared or not. And now that you have asked and done nothing, oh, they're confident you absolutely don't care. So I always told them, before you do a survey, be ready to do something with that information. So that's first things first. Have a plan in place. What am I going to do with this information? And there are some things you should do before you just sit down and start throwing stuff out there. You kind of want to have a clear, concise survey. So you want to ask yourself, you know, what's the objective? What is the goal of this survey? What are you looking for? And then write that down. It might be, maybe I'm looking for ways to shape my content. Maybe I'm looking for new segments. Maybe this one's geared towards finding sponsors, so I need all that demographic information. Those are the things you need to think about and kind of aim your survey, because it's not going to be, well, how old are you? What's your favorite color? And tell me what you were in high school. Were you a jock, a cheerleader, a nerd, or whatever, right? Because those are what? It's all over the place. And you kind of want to have a goal, a focus of your survey, because otherwise it'll be 400 questions long and go nowhere. So you want it to be short and to the point. Now, I did some research on this. SurveyMonkey.com, along with Gallup, of course, the employer of one Jim Cullison, my co-host for Ask the Podcast Coach at AskThePodcastCoach.com, as well as TheAverageGuy.tv. And so these are two well-known survey companies, and they say the survey should take 5 minutes or less. Now, I went through my survey, and like the one page is like, what's your name? How old are you? Are you a male or female? That page took, I don't know, 8 seconds. So I blew through my survey in about 2 minutes. And so they say it should take about 5 minutes or less. 6 to 10, yeah, okay, that's acceptable. But SurveyMonkey and Gallup say they see significant abandonment rates after 11 minutes. And you're like, really? Yeah, well, do you remember that guy in junior high that didn't care about his grades? And about, I don't know, 2 minutes into the test, he'd be like, ah, whatever. Everybody gets C, 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 you know, whatever. They just, you know, threes for everyone. And they would just draw a big circle down instead of drawing in the circles, right? Well, if it gets too long, that guy, yeah, he grew up. And he's going to give you the exact same thing. It's like, whatever, B, 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 B. Everybody, you know, straight Bs for everyone. So when it gets too long, they quit the survey. And now there are things you can do, like in my case, offer a some sort of compensation or a chance or a reward to go through the entire survey. So that can help people get through, a little incentive that way. But people stop paying attention if it gets too long, or they just say, forget it, it ain't worth it. So keep it clear. And now some of this is kind of like, duh. But to ensure that you collect valid survey results, make sure you include instructions on how to answer the survey. Now, I went overboard on this. I actually recorded a YouTube video to kind of welcome you at my survey. I went through and recorded audio, and on any, some of the questions, you actually can click a button and hear me explain the question, even though I just explained it in text sitting right there in front of you. So I want to make sure there are no questions about the questions. And so they need to be clearly stated so there's no misunderstanding about what's being asked. So avoid using things like, what do you think of the GBR? And you're like, GBR? Green bathroom? What? No, I don't. What's the GB? No, that's not a good question. And so you want them to be clear. You want them to understand completely. And an example might be if I say, what are your thoughts on categories? Well, the person that takes my survey might go, well, do you mean WordPress categories, Libsyn categories, iTunes categories? Which categories? Make it clear so that everybody knows exactly what you're talking about. And when you develop your questionnaire, you want to make certain you're asking the questions in a neutral way. In other words, that you're not leading them towards a particular answer. You know, this may, it sounds simple, but when you are writing the questions, you might actually put in some of your bias. So it might be saying something like, does this microphone sound better than the old crappy one? Well, okay, hold on now. A better way to word that might be, what do you think about the sound of this microphone? Don't lead them. You know, you're leading the witness, sir. No, just leave it out there and let them share their feelings and their thoughts on that. Now, your survey is your survey. And a couple of different articles mention that there is a little bit of a rule of thumb. And I guess this kind of makes sense. It says questions about behaviors, in other words, factual information, should be before those about attitude, where people have to think and do opinions and emotions and preferences. I think because they're a little easier, right? You know, are you alive? Yes. Those are easy. And then general questions should be before those that are more specific. So an example might be if you're asking again for something that's just open-ended, that you're not sure what the audience is going to put in, you might want to leave that towards, you know, before the specific stuff, because you get them thinking. And this is where I'm not sure I agree with that one. But anyway, potentially sensitive questions should be asked later in the survey. Now, this one I do agree with, because it sounds weird. Once you've gone through all the easy questions, people, it's kind of weird. Even though it's a survey, some people kind of feel like it's a test. Even though you're like, no, there's no wrong or right answer questions. I'm looking for your opinion. But they do get kind of freaked out on that. So when you put these later, people kind of put their guard down, like, okay, they're not asking about anything that I don't want to reveal. And then you get to the final questions, and it's like, where were you last Tuesday, mister? So those are some thoughts. But in the end, think about it. Now, in mine, I have a little bit about, like, where do you consume the podcast? What do you consume it on? Things like that. Then I ask you kind of like, what are your philosophies about podcasting? That's in a section. So I kind of have different topics and then those questions for that section. Now, it makes it sound like it's a mile long. Again, most of these are one-click answers. Now, there are some strategies for questions. It's best to use non-structured questions when you, again, are exploring new ideas. And if you don't really know how they're going to respond, you're like, well, I'd put A, B, C, and D, but I don't really know what those are. That would be an open-ended question. And so that's where you can just let them fill it in, and you can even have it be a short answer or a long answer in most polling systems. And an easy way to get insights is to use a scale. And this can be like a multiple choice question. And what I always tell is always use an even number. So, for instance, if you say, what do you think of the podcast in general? One, I hate it. Two, meh, I can take it or leave it. Three, it's not bad. Four, I love it. Now, if you do five, right, an odd number, or three, what happens is you have one, two, three, four, five. Kind of picture that left to right, right? One, two, three, four, five. Can you see now in your mind how three is smack dab in the middle? When you use an odd number, it's really easy again for somebody to go, look, I don't have time for this. I'm just going to give you a three on everything. Smack dab right down the middle. Whereas if it's an even number, one, two, three, or four, and you go, okay, do you like it or love it? And they're like, now they've got to pick, okay, I don't love it. I don't hate it. Are they going to go with two or three if there's only four? Three means, they kind of like it a little more than they hate it. Two is, I'm leaning towards I don't like it. So stay away from odd numbers in a scale. That is one of the things you want to do. The other thing that you want to do in some cases with your, I would do this at the beginning of the survey, but you can also add it in between just to remind people. And that is, why are they doing this? So you might want to remind people that, hey, by filling in this survey, I can shape the content of this podcast to better meet your needs, right? Always explain how people are going to benefit by their actions. And by explaining the why, it's just an adult thing. In my travels in the education world, adults need to know why. You can go to a two-year-old and go, 1 + 1 = 2. And they're like, all right, daddy. You go to that to an adult and you're like, 1 + 1 = 2. And they're like, how is that? And you're like, okay, hold on. So you need to explain the why. It does come in handy that way. Now, the other thing you might want to do is keep some polling systems allow people to go, let me see where my results are compared to everybody else. And if you're asking questions that are somewhat sensitive, be sure to put at the beginning of the poll, these answers will be kept private, because some people don't want to answer stuff if it's going to go out onto the internet. Now, one of the things you can do to help people or incentivize, is that a word, incentivize, to get them to take your survey? What you can do, even if it's short, you may have, what's the word? People that are, do I want to take the survey? I'll do it later or whatever. You need to add incentives. You don't need to, but when in doubt, bribe your audience, right? That'll get more people to participate. Now, this could be something like, you know, Amazon gift cards. I was at a Christmas party this you know, holiday season with my wife. She's a nurse. We're at this big corporate thing. And I've never seen people lose their minds so quickly. These two DJs are on the score and they're like, come on, everybody. We're going to partay. All right. We're going to Funky Town. And just nobody's on the dance floor because they don't want to be that guy at the Christmas party. Right. And so they came out and they said, we have 50 scratch off lottery tickets to the first 50 people to get on the dance floor. And people lost their mind. It was almost like people getting trampled to get a lottery ticket so they could scratch it off and see that they won nothing. So I don't know how legal it is to offer lottery tickets, but it seems like a fairly, because I mean, I could offer you a lottery ticket. I think you have to claim it in Ohio. That's not going to work when you're in Zimbabwe. You know, podcasting is a global audience, but Amazon gift cards, things like that. Or if you have a service, like in my case, hey, you get a free year at the School of Podcasting. So now the good news is the more you poll your audience, the better bribes you're going to be able to come up with because you'll know your audience better. And so I want to talk about some of the free tools that I found. Yes, I said free tools that you can find to create a poll. First of all, in WordPress, there are a ton, and by that I mean a lot, a really, really huge amount of plugins that'll help you do surveys. Some of them are free, some of them are not. Again, I'll have links out at schoolofpodcasting.com/442. There's websites like SurveyMonkey, and if you're like, what's up with the monkey stuff? SurveyMonkey was the original company that later launched MailChimp, hence the whole, you know, monkey deal here. The only thing I dislike about SurveyMonkey, I've used them in the past, they allow you to have up to 100 responses, And the last time I used it, you could only have 10 questions. Now, again, if you're trying to get a quick, short, clear survey, you may not need more than 10 questions. And if you're only getting 1% to 5% responses, unless you have a ginormous audience, you may not need 100 responses. But I like to have my options open. And so I've looked around at a bunch, and I use PollDaddy. PollDaddy.com is owned by the people that make WordPress Automatic. And it's a free service. Now, is their free service wide open? No, there are a couple of things. Like, you can only, you ready for this? You can only have 1,000 responses per month. That's a lot. So, and it's not white labeled, meaning it's going to say, thank you for taking the survey. Click here to make your own at polldaddy.com. You can't do a lot of editing in terms of, they have 15 different preset themes, but in terms of really customizing with the CSS and things like that, you can't do that. You can actually close a survey after a certain date. So this one closes on July 30th. So if you go to answer it on July 31st, not going to happen. So again, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/2015S to take the survey. You can also require responses. So most of my questions are required, because otherwise, why am I asking them? It actually auto numbers the pages and questions. So that's kind of cool. You can drag and drop them around. It's really pretty cool. And you can also randomize your choices. So if you're actually doing something and you don't want, you know, this question to always be question number 6, because people could share the answer, that's kind of more of a school thing, but you can have things randomized. You can also brand your survey with a logo. Now, some of the things you can't do is you can't create a custom welcome page. Well, here's what I did. I made a YouTube video that says, hey, thanks for taking the survey. And when they're done with the survey, yeah, you can't make a custom thank you page, but I made a custom audio at the end that says, hey, thank you very much. Now, I can't print the PDF version, but you can get all the stats and all the information. You can actually paste your poll on Facebook and Twitter. There are 3 different types of website pop-ups. So I'll be putting this on the website, I believe. I'll see how annoying it is, so that people, when they come there, can actually take the survey. Because my idea is to get the ability to you know, get as much information in there. You could actually generate a QR code. So if you're going someplace, you could say, hey, here, click here and take the survey. And speaking of that, you can actually collect responses offline using an iPad or an iPhone. And as you might imagine, since it's owned by the same people that do WordPress, it's fully integrated with WordPress. Now, in terms of reporting, you can see the reports, you can see all the details, you can see the charts. The free version doesn't allow you to export anything. So there's no filtering, there's no location. Now, of course, you could ask that question, where are you? And that would fix that. But you can't share your results with other colleagues or clients. So there are some things. Now, you can actually be notified via email, via RSS. So you can actually make a feed to get your responses, you know, in Feedly or things like that. So again, it's pretty cool. There's no real support for this. You can email that, but it is free. Now, if you want the let's say you're going to start incorporating, you know, a survey of the week in your show, it's $200 a year. And it does give you all these other things I talked about. You can download the numbers. You can crunch it. It's white labeled. There are other features that, and you can really customize the way it looks. So it's like $17 a month. But for me, I'm just, you know what, I'll deal with the fact that it says PollDaddy at the bottom. But I've used other services. I really like PollDaddy and the fact that it integrates so well with WordPress. So that it would be my solution for that. And like I said, I'm trying this. Oh, the other thing I want to point out, when you make a question, you can go in and say, I want to associate media with this. Well, I went, okay, audio. And of course it says, enter your like short code. And I forget what I put in there, but it kind of said, nah, it doesn't work. So I clicked the like help button and it said, oh, the short code for audio is, you guessed it, SoundCloud. So I'm like, all right, I have a SoundCloud account. It's not my first string for audio, but I have it for, well, things like this. So I uploaded all my little blurbs that explain the questions to SoundCloud. and copy and pasted it into this, and it works fine. And then I saw the other button that said, yep, you can actually upload the video of the audio right to PolDaddy. So I could have done that. In fact, you'll see on the last question when I found this particular option that the last button is a gray kind of one pixel out player kind of button. So you'll see that again when you go to schoolpodcasting.com/2015S for the survey. And again, you can win a chance to have a free year at the School of Podcasting.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you had a great New Year's day and holiday, things like that. I had a great holiday. I got great news from my stepdaughter who lives in South Carolina. She's down there following in mom's footsteps to be a nurse. And she met herself a nice Southern gentleman, super polite. She is now engaged. So I will be getting a future son-in-law in, I don't know, they haven't set a date or anything like that, but it's just great because they're a great couple. He's a great guy. You always want, you know, your daughter to find somebody cool. And this guy's super smart, super nice, super considerate, and makes a ton of cash, which is nice as well. I do want to offer a quick apology to Jeff from daggersofthemind.com. Now, if you downloaded last week's episode, of course, that was the one My Favorite Podcast Is. And this is where people talked about why they listen to podcasts. It's something we do every year. And somehow Jeff's file went missing. And he said, well, I'm really bummed I wasn't included. Remember, I sent it back to you. I went through my Gmail. It just, I don't know where it went. It's again, it went the same place Steve Stewart's file went. It's in the dryer with the socks and it's now vanished. So check him out, daggersofthemind.com. He takes quotes from celebrities and then kind of does a podcast around them. And Ray, you'll be glad to know, his favorite podcast is the Podcasters Roundtable. So rather than have you go back and dig out schoolpodcasting.com/441, I'm just going to play Jeff's clip.
Hey, Dave. This is Jeffrey K. Holbrook. My three favorite podcasts are Your School of Podcasting, Ray Ortega's Podcaster Studio, and The Audacity to Podcast with Daniel J. Lewis. This being said, if I must choose the podcast, it would be Ray Ortega's Podcasters Roundtable. It's a roundtable discussion of all things podcasting. You can find it at podcastersroundtable.com.
Never heard of it.
On this show, I can get the benefit of all three of the Podfathers in one show. And once you add in all the other podcasters from an amazing variety of shows with their varied perspectives, I get the biggest bang for my podcasting buck. There is also the dream. I've recorded only 10 of my own shows at this point. I have no chance to be a guest on any prominent podcast since I am such a noob and have limited experience to make an interesting interview. On Podcasters Roundtable, I could be, however, since the format calls for such diversity. It's the Everyman's Podcast. My show is called Daggers of the Mind, The Philosophy of Celebrity Quotes. Each episode, I take a couple of quotes from prominent and famous individuals and explain how their wisdom can apply to us in our everyday lives. Here's a teaser. On December 1st, 2014, one of the quotes will be from no less a personage than the New Media Expo podcasting director, Dave Jackson.
Who?
You can find my show at daggersofthemind.com.
Now, a little bit more about last week's episode. By the way, thank you, Jeff. I really do appreciate that. And he's a good guy. It's on his website. Everything's been updated. Speaking of that, special thanks to Steve Stewart from Money Plan SOS. Steve was nice enough to alert me that there were some weird formatting things with the PDF, including, of course, typos. I'll explain more about that maybe in the future. I used a new service called Grammarly to do like an Uber spell check. But what I did was I went to most of the people that submitted it and said, hey, here's my favorite show. And I also went to those shows that said, hey, you've been voted my favorite podcast. I went to most of them. I was amazed that there are many podcasts out there that make it really hard to contact them, as in like there's no contact page. And in some cases, I had to go to Twitter to then do an @ tweet to say, hey, just so you know, you were mentioned over here. And now One of my favorite interviews last year was Jared Easley from starvethedoubts.com. He's also the author of the book, Podcasting Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration. It's a really good book if you haven't checked it out yet. And Jared talked about it's those little things, right? We want to have this big bonfire of an audience that's just growing and growing and growing. And one of the things you can do, of course, is try to find new people. But another thing you can do is find those people who are already listening. And you know how when you have a fireplace and you have the embers, you kind of blow on them and they start to grow and they glow and eventually they might spark into a fire. Jared actually emailed Kim in this case, who said, hey, I think this is one of my favorite shows. She actually had a tie, which, Kim, you're not allowed to have a tie. No ties next year. And Jared copied me on the email where he said, thank you so much for listing me as one of your favorite podcasts. So it's those little things. And now that doesn't mean the other people didn't. They may have, but Jared was the one that copied me on it. And I went, you know what? That's just so stinking Jared Easley. So I highly recommend his book, Podcasting Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration. And look at your website. See if you have a contact page, because it's so much. We talk about connecting with your audience, and then you make us look for the about page. You look us fine for a contact page, and it should be called contact. Some people like to put the contact information on the about page, and you could do that, but you should probably have a page called contact, because again, just like your survey, you want things kind of clear and simple. And there's not a whole lot more clear and simple than a page labeled contact when somebody's trying to, you guessed it, contact you. So if you don't have one of those, I highly recommend, because I was really amazed at how many people, I'm like, okay, I'd like to let these people know. And yeah, okay, if I had to search for it, I didn't let you know. So, and in some cases, I knew the people and I just told them and things like that. So keep that in mind. And that is going to do it for this edition of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Happy 2015. Want to give a shout out to Isabella Russell and Mike Russell, who probably by the end of this month, I think it is, I think they're down to a couple weeks of having a new Russell will be amongst us. So my thoughts and prayers go out to you. I know this is when pregnancy is really not fun and kind of scary. But I got an email from them, so I just wanted to give them a quick shout out and a quick shout out to you. 2015 is going to be great. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/2015S. Take the survey and you might win a chance to have a free year at the School of Podcasting. Now, if you don't want to wait till the end of the month to see if you win one for free, just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER. And you'll get a discount off your first month. And let me remind you to live today like, well, it's your last one. Live tomorrow like it's your first. And don't ever let your problems bring out your worst. Don't ever take your mind off. Whatever is your goal, be true to yourself and follow your soul. Love that song. It's not so much good as a show ending because I have to like start taking oxygen. It's a little long. But thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Take care, and until next week, class is dismissed. Take care. God bless.